Wait, so you have a subscription to, what is it called?
Shudder.
Shudder.
Yeah. And because of COVID, every scary movie starts exactly how this Zoom looks. One of us is in a cabin. It's like you'll see something on my part of the screen that I don't see, and I go, "What?" And I turn around and look for it, and it's not there. And you're like, "No, dude." And then all of a sudden it's
See, I think that's telling because you have a subscription to Shudder and I have a subscription to Disney Plus, man. It's all about
Yes.
just magic and family time for me, bro. I'm with
That's why
that.
this podcast works, bro. Let me tell you a quick story though. Shit you not. You know those little like 15 second clips that are on Facebook where it's like, look at the chair. And then after like 8 seconds, the chair moves a little bit. And 7 more seconds, it's just a loud noise and a face on your screen that scares people.
Oh yeah, I fall for that shit all
I shit you not, dude. One of the
the
Shudder movies that they like highly promote, it's an hour and 20 minute build up to that. It's like an hour and
Oh
20 minutes, and then it's just,
So worthwhile subscription?
no, the subscription's worthwhile, but that one movie, I was like, I've seen this movie before and it took 13 seconds.
I saw as I was scrolling on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm out. And scroll. Of all things current, requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick in your face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise and shout out whatever you want us to by dropping a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who just took off his socks to help count votes in Pennsylvania. Motion, how you doing, man?
I needed 20. I needed 20. We're all right, man. We came up. We do an annual trip up to a cabin for our anniversary, and this time we did it a bit early. Our third anniversary is in 2 weeks, so we did it a bit early because we both got new jobs and we had to sort that out with the dates. But we're up in the cabin that we refused. We run to, and we're glad we're here. The election was. You know, I don't know. I thought we came up like to avoid the election drama, which we can't because it's on every channel. But it turns out that
Pretty much.
all hell is going to break loose in about 1 to 3 weeks after the election when we actually find out who our president is.
1 to 3 weeks. Yeah, I think we'll know a little bit before that. But that's cool, man. I'm glad you went to a cabin. I want to get the hell out of here, and the cabin sounds mighty fine.
It is super good, dude, because they sanitize, and it's 3-day minimum. And you have to bring all your own blankets and pillows and everything. So
Oh, that's
there's
cool.
nothing here. No, there's nothing here that was someone else used other than like, sinks and stuff. But they
Okay.
clean it up real well. Hey, I had a, you know how we're Pound Town? I don't know if you've been out and about yet, but people aren't shaking hands. Some people are brave enough to do like the knuckles, the pound it.
Oh yeah, I do. I do the elbows.
You do elbows
Yeah.
even further from that. Okay, so I kind of been doing the knuckles, the pound it, and I wonder if there's a tinfoil hat guys out there that think we start coronavirus because of our Pound Town MO.
I'm okay with that because at least we get some press, and there's no such thing as bad press. I'm with that.
Absolutely, right? Didn't our
Yeah.
former president kind of prove that?
Yeah.
It
Ground
looks like
zero.
Biden wins, right?
As of right now, it looks like the trajectory as of the recording of this show around 9 o'clock on Wednesday evening, the day after the election. It looks like the roadmap is going that direction. I'm not
Right.
one to put all my eggs in a basket until it's been called. But it looks that way. It definitely looks that way. At least the internet says so. Have you seen these internet memes, man?
I have not. I have not. What I was excited about that we got fixed in this election though was I'm glad we went back to mail voting, dude.
Oh,
Women's suffrage, they've been picking the wrong people forever, dude. And all we've heard of is this fuss about mail voting for a month now. I'm finally glad, dude, that we went back to the old ways. You know, women can't pick the right men. Obviously, we're married, so you know it is all about male voting.
Oh man, you mean mail in voting?
Yeah, males in voting.
No, okay. Well, you're right.
Right? Male voting, bro.
As long as Trump is out.
You know what? I don't understand though. Is why everybody's giving the post office a hard time about males voting.
Licking?
I couldn't make that connection.
That's the first thing I thought of, licking a stamp, post office, mails. Hey, it's a family-friendly show.
Is it?
I don't really know. Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see how the election's playing out. I mean, I'm excited to see because here's what I wanted to start this off with.
Okay.
I'm not celebrating. So those who have tuned in to previous episodes know that I wanted – Biden to win. I voted for Biden, and it's not because I think Biden was the right guy for the job. We needed to stop the hemorrhaging of Donald Trump affecting this country. So if all goes well, that will occur. Biden will win. Trump will be out. But I want to really to echo this sentiment of no one should be celebrating. I don't want anyone celebrating. If we're going to be celebrating one thing, it's the fact that we had record turnout of voting. We haven't had this much voter turnout since the turn of the last century, 1900.
Well, and I almost feel like it's pretend. Well, it's as Americans can turn out. It's as American as signing up for a gym online. You know, because it's like a lot of it wasn't necessarily turnout. It, you know, not just the male voting, but some. It was weird to see people over the past 3 weeks talk about how they voted and it not be like election day. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was kind of weird for me. It was a different feeling. And now us, like you said, it's a day after election and we have a pretty good feeling about how it's going to turn out, but we're still not sure as the rest of the country is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I feel even more so American now with this eagerness or antsiness or anxious anxiety about right. Like, no, we need the results. But it's like, no, we wanted to make it more convenient. And part of this is the process. I love that Nevada, I believe it was Nevada, the governor came out and said, like, we're not interested in doing it quickly. We're interested in doing it correctly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and they're actually checking signatures there, which is, I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so excited for the voter turnout piece.
Yeah.
According to a Bloomberg model, they anticipate the total number of votes cast for a president to range roughly from 157 million to 165 million. And that's roughly a 68 to 72% of the voting age population. That is fantastic. And this is harking back to my last comments in 2016. We had maybe a little over 50%, 55%, I think it was, that showed up for the election in 2016. So to hear we're at 68 to 72%, that is phenomenal. That is phenomenal. And if it's attested to mail-in voting or early voting, what have you, I'm all for it. I'm all for people showing up to the polls and fucking voting, whether it be a virtual poll uh-huh. or actually the poll inside your house and your kitchen table, filling out your ballot and then mailing it in or dropping it off at the ballot box like I did. I'm all for it because it shows that it works. Even during a pandemic, we had the highest voter turnout since the turn of the last century in 1900. That's the only thing I'm celebrating. But beyond that, the fact that the race was this close, nobody should be celebrating. It's just a clear indication that there's a huge divide amongst our countrymen, amongst our neighbors, our friends and family. There's nothing to celebrate there. What we're being exposed to is the great divide. And what we need to do is come back together and figure out how we can cement that unity within the United States of America. And right now it's not there. And that's what troubles me.
And I like the Electoral College. I know a lot of people don't. They think it's dated, so on and so forth. But I feel like this election is proof positive. It pretty much is a popular vote election, because if you look at the state's maps in which each candidate won, it it to me is a it's a popular vote election. You can see there's like an 80% slash through the middle of the country. If you can envision like the no smoking sign, the country is a cigarette, and you get that big nice red line that cuts right through at it at a, you know, at like a 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
And it's like that red line is all red states on the map. And then you got your little blue bits of the cigarette on the left and on the right. And somehow it's still 50-50. You know, it's to me, this is proof positive of what like a popular vote would look like. You can get a conservative guy to win 38 states down the middle. And then you get, you know, the 12 states on the left and right of it that have the voter turnout, that have the numbers.
I can understand that perspective. Yeah. I mean, it definitely leans towards that. And I think both systems have their improvements that would need to be looked upon. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you have just a popular vote, you would have candidates going just to the major popular cities.
Exactly.
And that's it. They would go to L.A., New York, Miami, the state capitals of maybe a couple of the inroad, the flyover states, unfortunately. But other than that, you wouldn't see much action.
Let's do a election-related touch back to an old segment of ours, Something to Celebrate. Is there something to celebrate that catches your eye outside of this election, other than things that we said that we shouldn't have celebrated? I got something in mind, but I wanted to see if there's something that stands out to you that is a beautiful thing, that is a step forward for the country as a whole, not necessarily as a Democrat or Republican or white or black.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think the only thing that I'm celebrating is the voter turnout.
Voter turnout.
I mean, it's the mail-in ballots, they worked. All the different security measures, and I think there was a lot of attempts for voter suppression. And a lot of the voters were like, well, fuck you. We're still going to show up. We're still going to show out. You know, put us in line for 3 hours. All right, well, we'll be in line for 3 hours. You want double signatures and a witness and, you know, my firstborn child? All right, well, I'm going to sign up for that, and I'm still going to turn out, and I'm still going to rock my vote. And to see that kind of level of dedication towards such a fundamental aspect of our country, I'm with it, man. Just voter turnout, voter participation, regardless of who you voted for, I'm glad you voted.
I want to applaud Oregon. My whole life, I've been a big fan of decriminalizing drugs for multiple reasons. One, I don't know anybody who's going to be like, hey, heroin's legal. Let's go shoot up. But I am.
I'm catching a flight to Portland.
I'm a huge opponent of drug violations in prisons. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see that step forward. You know, of course,
I heard about this. Tell me more. What the hell happened in Oregon? Because it's not just Portland, right?
No, not just Portland. It's Oregon statewide. They decided to go ahead and decriminalize possession for single use, which is, you know, for you yourself, of all drugs, any narcotic, heroin, meth, coke, weed, whatever the fuck you got. You're not going to go to jail for having it anymore. Doesn't mean it won't be taken away from you. Doesn't mean if you have other things, like you can't break into a house to feed your habit. Obviously, you're going to jail for that. But what it will do is get rid of these low-level criminals that fill the jails, you know, and create other tensions. And I also, what it will do is it will help destroy any black market that exists through these types of things. So I'm excited to see it take a step forward. People don't know how much of Oregon, what type of grow operations and how connected they are to down south southern mobs, you know, Mexican cartels and things like that. Because such open space and wide open areas, there are a lot of black market operations that take place there. And they're going to remove, it's pulling the rug out from under them. You know, guess what? People don't have to get it from dope dealers anymore. And I think that's a big step, dude. I really think that decriminalizing all narcotics is not too far away. And I think it's an appropriate step to the future, dude. I really do.
Yeah, I totally agree. I know enough to say that just either the carrot or the stick is how you make the house, the horse move forward.
Yes.
And I think this history of using the stick is not working. So let's use a carrot in the sense of using a pathway of understanding. I'm totally with that. Do you know anything about like selling?
I don't. I'm pretty sure that is still a criminal operation. So if you get caught selling drugs, you're going to go to jail. They only decriminalized possession for self-use. So, yeah, you still can't sell drugs. But the point is, if you're on the street with something...
There's bigger fish to fry kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, fuck those guys, dude. If you're going to make money off people that, in that way, in that sense. So I was excited about that. I don't know. What else? What's up, man? I did have a quick question, if you don't mind me throwing the show off the road right away.
No, like 15 minutes
in, everything's, you know, made sense. Everything's been linear. Why do Bibles come in three very different fucking sizes, dude?
I don't know. I mean, one has pictures, one's abbreviated, one's a pop-up book. Or
they got the cute little, like, pocket one, right? That they give you outside of court.
Oh, yeah, and then you
You're like, you're average. Need this. Yeah. Then you got your, like, your average Bible that most people have that's, like, paperback. I don't know, right? But then you got the one at the podium that the priest has. How the fuck those three things have the same words, same sentences, same stories?
That's the gift of microprinting.
Must be God's work, right?
God's work.
God's work.
That's how it's happening. And going back to the election, you've been seeing a lot of posts, and I thought this was kind of interesting as far as perspective goes. There was a lot of posts, I think, yesterday during election day, and then a little bit, I think, this morning. You see, like, whoever wins, no matter what, let's just be kind. We just got to remember that life goes on, and we got to keep moving on, and you know, no matter who wins. You got better Facebook friends than me. Yeah, well, I saw a couple of those, and I think there's a level of sentiment, because I also put up a Facebook post in that line. My Facebook post said, "K sera sera, c'est la vie, KMF with a heart," and that translates to "What will be, such is life." Keep moving forward. So my sentiment was very much like, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's just how life goes. And there's other people who are like, you know, no matter who wins, we need to be kind to each other. And I think those posts are being called out for a claim of privilege. And that's saying that you're able, you're in a position where the system supports you. The system supports how you live your way of life. And you're like, well, if it goes Biden, you know, life goes on. And if it goes Trump, well, you know, life goes on. But I think that kind of sentiment dismisses the gravity that this election held for some people. Do you think that's kind of accurate, or do you think that's just blown out of proportion?
No, I don't think that's entirely accurate. I do come from the school of thought, if you don't find politics is gonna find you. I get that. I know that every election matters. I know it affects us in one way or another. But I also kind of started coming up with this idea of that politics and politicians is kind of like being in the prison yard, dude. If you want to jump in and be part of the gangs, you absolutely can. But you can also do your time here on Earth in America without being quite that involved, to be, you know, quite frank. I saw a tweet by McAfee, you know, the antivirus guy that's like a weird fugitive and he's like living this crazy life.
Yeah.
And it talked about, you know, in 2 days, there's going to be this big ordeal. But for most of the fucking country, your life isn't really going to change. Yeah, I get you'll get some things. And I'm excluding the fact that there were local elections on everybody's ticket. Okay. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking the presidential election. I don't know how grandiose the shifts are going to be. And I don't know how much stress is. I don't know, like, you know, the reward to risk ratio here. I don't know how much most of our lives are going to be affected by this presidential election compared to how much stress people have really put into it. Dude, there was a poll that said some like 65% of Americans said that the most stressful day of their life is going to be this election. Anybody who answers polls, first of all, you're a fucking idiot. But so, you know, 65% of idiots. But yeah, I don't know. I know how polarizing it's been and how much influence Trump has had. And I almost feel like we dipped our ankles in the non-politician pool and now we're like ready to go back. No, let's let politicians do it, you know? But we live in this weird world where like we accept them just lying to us. You know, like when Biden talks and Kamala talks, I know they're saying shit that they don't mean. And it's just like, well, but you're saying what I want to hear. So you get my vote. You know what I mean? And it's like, I know you don't mean it, but that's, we accept that from politicians. But I don't know how I feel about how much change is actually going to take place. I mean, compared to how much stress we put into it, like I said.
I agree. And I think there's not going to be, I don't think they're going to be a huge amount of policy change that is going to be effective to us. But I will say there's two major effects that I think Trump has had as a failed president. Number one, he failed us during the coronavirus. He had the opportunity to step up as a leader and lead the governor and lead the American public to follow science. And he didn't do that. He failed. I think my job was a victim of that. I think I was directly affected by Trump.
Absolutely. And I think ultimately that's what's going to have brought him down. What's number two?
Yeah. Number two is his overall sentiment. His going back to being a leader. I feel like the president is a leader, and you set the tone, you set the pace, you set the temperature of the country. And his rhetoric was just gaslighting. I mean, it just, all he did was just fan the flames, and he allowed people to let that flag fly, you know, and I feel like the Trump flag became an indication of something more, you know, of saying, I don't like others who don't like, who don't think the way I do. Yeah. And I think that allowance, that intolerance, was dangerous. It's something that we don't need. It's not how it works. And if you want to be intolerant, bigot, racist, whatever you want to call it, that's cool. You do you. But the way that Trump fanned the flames of encouraging people to affect others was disturbing to me. And I think that's the other main thing that I did not like with the Trump presidency, because you're right. You know, the other things with the presidential effects, we don't really see him. I didn't see any direct effects with the trade war with China, or, you know, him talking to North Korea, or
I saw direct positive effects from the trade war with China in my line of work, especially with the cost of metal and aluminum and how metals get made and stamped and put into the workplace. So I did see a positive move there, but it wasn't initial. The initial reaction, the knee-jerk reaction, was a spike in costs because all of our metal came from China and we put the tariffs on. So everybody freaked out. There was a point where I couldn't buy metal for a month. But then once the American mills got up and going, all of a sudden, the bottom fell out of it. But I wanted to ask you, that sentiment that you speak of that motivated and somehow brought up from the dead these, you know, almost militias, right? These mean people, the people that ran those flags, right? And argued and fought in the streets with people who didn't agree with them. It's crazy that as you were saying that, I was thinking you're absolutely right. But I also was thinking that somehow he did that on both sides. Like, he got Antifa to become a thing. You know what I mean? Like, sure. As much as there were people representing Trump out causing problems, he also somehow managed to spark this, antithesis to it too, that didn't exist before him. You know, like, the alt-right was this like made fun of thing. It was like a joke. Right, like they're like the Limbaugh guys, the Glenn Beck's, the Tea Party, right? I mean, that fizzled out so fucking quick, and then all of a sudden they got this power and this momentum with them. And for every action, there's an equal reaction, you know. And all of a sudden we got this doxing movement, cancel culture, and Antifa out of it. And it was weird that he was. It's almost, we say polarizing, and when I hear the word polarizing, I think of an attraction. Like when magnets attract. But I would almost beg to say that we were all a positive charge across this country, and this negative charge got dropped in the middle and it pushed us away. The opposite. You know how magnets, when you get the two, the wrong sides pushed together and they fight, they won't come up?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we saw that with Obama. Obama was a unifying president. Where there was a lot of passionate perspectives on both sides. And I think what you saw as the reaction to Obama's presidency was the mobilization of the far right into something more. And because they were able to mobilize and take advantage of the communication tools that are available to us in the present day, they were able to make a movement. And thus you saw Donald Trump. And then into that, you know, again, an action causes a reaction. You saw Antifa, the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think these movements, as positive as they are, aren't, I think aren't as impactful without Donald Trump.
You know, midway through Biden's surge last night, because I felt like it was Trump, then it was close, then Biden took off. And I kind of had this idea, dude, and it's very tinfoil hat, but with the coronavirus, there became a laxness in law, a relaxation of laws and prisons, and us realizing, hey, we don't really need to throw everybody in jail. And cops loosened up. And I mean, I got pulled over in a situation where I could have been given a hard time. I wasn't, it really wasn't that big a deal. Like, people who know me are thinking like, oh, Bobby's back at it. No, not that at all. But with my priors and stuff, and the cop was just like, hey man, you know, like, we're not here for this bullshit. Go ahead and go home. And that's what it was. Right. And I had this idea, dude, that, you know, if the powers that be, pretend it's not red, blue, pretend it's not black, white, not even really rich, poor. I'm talking about that shadow government that people want to believe in. If the powers that be decide, hey, dude, this coronavirus shit's going to fade out in the next 6 months or maybe a year, whatever. But in general, we need to get this country back tight again. We need to get the prison movement running again. We need to get the cops taking people back to jail. We need to really get pulled down again tight in what we were 2 years ago. Who better for the job,
right,
than Kamala and Biden? You got the ultimate DA. You got the prison, the crime reform author. Who better to really tighten the ship back up again than those two? Because there is an extreme laxness, you know, in perspective with the laws. Do you see what I'm saying? And again, it was tinfoil hat. I was joking, but there's a road there, right? There's a fucking road, right?
There is. And I see where you're going with that. And I do agree to an extent. I'm not saying it's going to pinpoint specific to Joe personality, Kamala personality. I will say that we have status quo again. And just in the same way that Hillary Clinton was viewed as status quo, I feel that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are status quo. And that's why I said, you know, previously, the work isn't done with Joe. You get him elected. It wasn't because I think Joe's going to fix shit. It's just to stop Trump from all the batshit crazy it is. Now, the real work, if Joe continues on his path and does win the presidency, that's just one checkbox item that we're ticking off. That's just one thing. The real work begins now. We got to go back and engage our local politicians, our local elections, find out who's doing what do we want them to do, and engage them. So for me, someone like myself, I was very gung-ho about Bernie. So when I go back to that side of the party, that's where my work lies. What progressive movement do we have to prepare for the next cycle? So 2022, we've got to make sure that we have the bills that we want, we have the laws that we want, and make that movement. It's not so much just, you know, Joe's going to take it from here. Nah, man, the real work begins. And as Kobe Bryant said, you know, the job ain't done yet. Job's not done. We have a lot of work to do. And as far as, because just like you said, they're going to put us back on track for status quo. And if everyone's like, okay, Trump's gone, everything's going to be hunky-dory, you're fucking wrong. And the last thing we want is to go back to status quo. Absolutely. In the exact way that you described it. That's the last fucking thing. When you got to do not let off the gas. Black Lives Matter, keep moving. The unification process within civil rights, you got to keep moving. You know, all those social justice movements, environmental justice movements, you can't let off the gas. Now is the time to even go harder, because now that we have control, at least of the executive branch, theoretically, we got to go hard.
You know, and as you mentioned the environmental movement, I looked this up the other day. There's approximately 3 billion women on the planet. Why the fuck the earth ain't clean yet?
I thought you were going to say, why the fuck our wives chose us, because you're right.
No, we'll, women, yeah. Oh, yeah, because they could have picked other women.
Yeah, yeah, clearly.
We've actually been having this conversation in our family about how many women are into Natalie. Like, we can't go anywhere without bitches trying to kiss Nat. But yeah, 3 billion women. Come on, man. Clean this shit up, dude. Earth is so filthy, bro.
Well, when you, have, work. When you have about going on 8 to 9 billion people, that's not going to cover it, man. Those men
sounds, are, sounds are like dirty. These girls are getting lazy. Yeah. Again, back to male voting. I'm glad we're back to male voting.
Oh, man. What else do we get? Anything else on the election?
The election? No, just it's nerve-wracking not having an answer, dude. This is like waiting for an AIDS test. You know, like, fuck, dude. I do a I had an uncle pass away of AIDS in the 80s. So every year, out of love and respect for him, not since I got married, but you know, up until my 30s, I would get an AIDS test. And this is exactly what this election feels like. Feels like that 3-day wait before Planned Parenthood calls you.
Hopefully with good news, like all times previously.
Yep. Positive results, right?
Positive. No, I mean, okay. Here's what I want. While I don't like Trump, I want him fucking eviscerated and in a jail cell somewhere. If the voters chose Trump, then so be it. And again, I'm not a fan of the Electoral College. I believe in one voice, yeah. One vote. But the election went the way that America does, and that's the way it was. I accepted it. I did not like it. I was kicking and screaming about it, but I accepted it. Now I'm hoping for the exact same thing. You know, if Biden comes out on top, so be it. That is the will of the people. If you don't like the system, change the fucking system, which I'm very adamant about doing in eliminating the Electoral College. However, if it's Trump that comes out on top again, so be it. I mean, that's just the will. As long as it was an honest election, that is all I can ask for.
You know, the Electoral College bit, I hear a lot of people talk about it. Is there any traction to removing it, or is that just something some people – because I have very – educated friends, you included, that are about eliminating the Electoral College. Some that I agree with on more things than not, and some that I disagree with, but I never stack. It's one of those things. It's not, to me, a party marker like abortion. I have people on both sides, different interests, different ethnicities, different cultures that are pro and against Electoral College. Is there traction to that movement, or is it kind of a thing that people say?
You know, there's been some traction, and immediately following the election of 2016, I got straight to work in researching, does my congressperson, are they doing anything about it? Yeah. Is it a bill that's been proposed in Congress? And it has been. Has it been provided enough conversation? Not really. I think there's been traction enough to say that, oh, we addressed it. Oh, I tried.
Okay. It's like a
bill and it didn't pass.
Like reparations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we talked about it.
Yeah, exactly. But there hasn't been a serious conversation about the voting system in the country. And, you know, that's one of the things that I think we need is like, for example, if I was to run for office, I'd run in and say, look, this is what I'm running on. I'm running on this, this, and this. These are the things that I'm going in gung-ho about. And one of those things I would be going gung-ho about is how can we expand voting rights to as many people as possible? How can we make voting easier? What level of investment, what level of research to the best types of platforms, mediums are most effective, available? Let's figure this shit out. And how can we get to 100% voter participation?
What if we did a 10 question pop quiz, right? And yep. You got to vote at the end of the 10 question pop quiz. But if you didn't do 60% or up, your vote just went into oblivion. Like, but you never knew. You got to vote. You did your bit. But if you didn't know like your governor's name, the capital of your state, basic shit, you know, like, wouldn't that be neat? That'd be cool, right? That way everybody gets to vote, but only the educated votes get through.
They had the same thing back in the slavery days. Once they were emancipated, the slaves weren't, you know, educated, so they had voting tests before you could place a vote. It didn't go well.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. And there's a part of me that's like, yeah, clearly I don't want the idiots to know. But if that's the case we're going to go, then cool. Then what I want to do is expand education. I want to invest heavily in education. It starts with the motherfucking kids. So I'm really saddened to see, I think it was Prop 17 in California, that the kids at age 17 or 18.
Oh, yeah, could vote
for
their party's primary if they will be 18 by the election.
General election.
So, yeah, which is crazy to me. Does that mean that you're a Democrat before you're 18 or a Republican? I mean, I know by nature people are what they are, but like, are you a registered Democrat at 16? I guess you are, right? Because when you go to DMV?
I think when you register, I mean, you can register to vote. I don't think you have to be 18 to register to vote.
No, but the law is that you get to vote for your party's primary.
Right.
If you'll be 18. So, but how are you a member of a party at 16 years old, 17 years old?
I think it allows you to register at that time.
Because I thought I remember registering when I got my like permit when I turned 15 or 16.
Then you must have been able to register to vote.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I had an
idea. Matter, 5 minutes
didn't
pass.
Ago, but I forgot it. Yeah,
yeah, but shit like that. I want to see an investment in education. If people understood how the fucking government works, it wouldn't be as bad as it is.
Well, and then what I wanted to say was access to information and education during slavery times and now is very different. Like I understand why slaves couldn't pass the test. They didn't have like Wi-Fi, shit like that, you know?
Well, that's the other thing is that you see a lot of the rural areas, you start looking at the map towards availability of the internet access. It's not high. There's not a lot of internet access. I think it's broadband access, I think is the term.
Yeah.
For the central states, the rural areas, not even in central states, meaning fucking California. If you're out in the middle of nowhere, there's not going to be a Wi-Fi connection. But if we invest in that infrastructure, A, that's an investment in economy, jobs in America, infrastructure in the United States, and you're expanding the access to knowledge for the rest of the country. It's a win-win. And the fact that they don't do it is because they're intentionally not wanting to do it.
Got
Keep
it.
Them dumb.
Keep, yeah, dumb it down, dude.
Yeah, they don't want you to, because when it's no mistake that a high majority of people that are educated, not even college educated, but just educated, are more willing to stray away from conservative values.
Absolutely, bro.
Yep.
I'm with you. I couldn't tack on to that. Sorry. You gave me like the hanger, like, and I was like, I mean, you nailed it. Like,
does this mean I win?
Yeah, you were fair as fuck. Like, there was nothing wrong with that. Like,
cool. Then in that case,
I'll find a spot today to leave you at a loss for words. Don't worry.
Oh, that happens nightly. I want to talk about a professor who was suspended for saying a Chinese word. So in USC.
Did he do Chinese eyes while saying it?
No, he did not, to the best of my knowledge. Last month, Greg Patton, who was a professor teaching a lesson on filler words in other languages, think like or like in English. Yep. He's teaching his class in the master's level course on communication for management and business. He used an example in China because, you know, in the world economy, China is a big player. So you should be mindful of to the communication language in China. He continued that the common pause word is translated to that. So in China, okay. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing this correctly, is ni jia.
Okay.
Or ni ga.
Don't get canceled.
I think it's ni ga. N-E space G-A.
Oh, that's for sure Niga.
Niga. Yeah, okay, Niga. There you go. So some or all the black students in this course were definitely offended by what they just heard. So they wrote a letter to the dean of School of Business and describing the teacher as insensitive and incapable of teaching the 3-week intensive communications course. And he was suspended because
a 3-week course. First of all, I need to know how they wrote the word that he said in their letters to the dean. If you look at the back of my screen, dude, I'm pretty sure they just set the cabin on fire. Can you see that?
Yeah, that is a glowing fire glow. Yeah.
Look, yeah. And there's Slenderman.
Yeah.
Guilty. And Babadook.
Hey, there's the birthday kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah. Robot babies.
Robot babies, happy birthday. He's roboting, but he can't see you. Here, dude.
There it is.
There he is, robot baby.
Yeah. Robot and, baby.
Sorry, guys. We're fixing the world's problems. Can you believe there's a teacher at USC that said Niga?
No.
You can't believe that?
No.
Right? Well, it doesn't matter. He's fucking gone now. Get out of here. You're never going to USC either. Wow. I was right, bro. It's not so just wow.
He got suspended for saying Niga. But here's the thing. He was using a literal translation in the business sense of filler words. It just so happens, pure coincidence, that the word that he used sounds similar to the N-word in the English language.
Yeah, so, and you know what?
Is that okay for him to be suspended?
No, that's not okay. That's not okay. That's not okay, dude. Like, we got to knock this fucking shit off with thinking we're all on the same playing field. Like, there's different languages that use different contexts and nuances and have the sounds that might equate to something that rouse bad emotions within you. But being a student at USC, you need to know that there are other levels. Like, I get it. He made sounds with his mouth that definitely hurt your feelings. That's acceptable. But those sounds, their intention was to teach you how to negotiate in business. What if he didn't teach that term and you went to this big deal with this Chinese businessman that's buying 34 apartment buildings in New York, because that's what they're doing right now.
Yep.
And he says, Niga, and you go, what? And then Donald Trump gets the business, like, you know, he's $1 billion president. You know what I mean? I was trying to Google.
Yeah.
There is a totally valid point. Very Korean terms that are pretty much bitch nigga. It's like how you say a very simple thing in Korean. I'm trying to. I'm Googling it so I could be correct. I believe it as bichnga, but I would like to be right. And
If you want to be right, all you got to do is visit www.imright.com.
Yeah, so it is Korean. And, it's Vietnamese.
And that's how we are learning. But here's my problem while you're looking that up.
Yes, sir.
This is a reinforcement of perpetuating this idea that the world is a safe space. And just like you said, it's not. There's other cultures, other languages, other contexts, and other translations. And things get lost in translation. But here's my big thing. This is college. When you go to college, you are young adults. You're probably in your fucking early 20s.
Yeah.
And you should have your big person adult pants on by this time and be ready to be shocked and challenged and thought provoked to get out of your comfort zone. And, you know, it harkens back for me when all these protests were occurring around the time of Donald Trump. And, you know, they would say, no hate speech is allowed on the campus. We're not allowing it. We're going to protest. We're going to make sure that this speaker is censored and shut down and kicked out. And while, of course, I want no hate, I want no one to feel hated or threatened or so on and so forth. But I feel like because this is America, we need to allow the speech to be made so that way we know what we're dealing with. We know how to fight it.
And Todd, in general, like, how absurd is it to think that we can know right from wrong, good from bad, without hearing all of it? Agreed. You know what I mean? Like, if we can't hear the bad shit, how do we know what we're being told is the good shit? And by the way, while I was looking this up, it turns out that NGA is an extremely common word in multiple Asian languages. And it's actually, like, in Tagalog, used as emphasis. So it's like how you say nga, 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 nga. It all means different things. And if you can't be a member or a student at USC, being taught that this word exists and this is what it means and this is how it's used and this is how people will use it against you. I'm guessing it's a business, it was a business course. I'm guessing he's trying to arm you for negotiations.
Right.
And he's trying to teach if you're too sensitive for that, then just get ready to be pummeled. To you know, pick a different fucking major. And get the fuck out. You go to UCLA. The world I heard a lot of pussies attend there. So it's just crazy, yeah. Dude. I don't understand why we think that there's going to be this end all be all, this paintbrush that we're you know, building this portrait of the world that doesn't apply to most of the fucking world. Like, what is it called? Politically correct?
Politically correct is one way, but I think this is deeper than being politically correct. I think this is more of the American ego thinking that we have to play by our rules and the rest of the world has to fall in line. It doesn't work that way.
It ties itself with the Latinx bullshit. Like no Latinos or Latinas are Latinx. If you go just 5 minutes past San Diego, further down south, Latinx doesn't exist.
I think that is in the same sense. I think the gender assignment of the word Latino for males, Latina for women, it leaves no room for gender neutral, gender fluid, gender so on and so forth. And I think that's where that comes from. And although I would not say that this applies to that.
But I would say that only applies in context. America. Because in Mexico or in other Latin
countries. I mean, I'm not familiar enough with.
In other Latin countries.
It may not be as popular, but I'm pretty sure that might be there.
Yeah. Not entirely. Look at the cabin. The cabin's on fire again. Look at that shit. It's supposed to be dark. Whoa, look, when the little one goes. Desi, did you guys fuck up? Sign. What do you mean you don't know? The fire's in the fireplace, right? Yeah. All right, cool. We almost burned down. Don't forget, the whole place is made of wood.
Fantastic. Okay, so I wanted to get to one topic I don't think we covered last time, and correct me if I'm wrong. Did we talk about the UK man who poked a hole in a condom without telling their partner and was jailed for rape? I don't remember if we talked about that.
Let's talk about it. I might have different feelings this time if we did.
Okay.
I don't think we did. This sounds so familiar, but I don't think we did talk about this, brother.
I did post it on the Facebook page as a bookmarker for most of my stories. Yeah. But there was a guy in the UK. He poked a hole in the condom without telling his partner.
Okay.
And he was jailed for rape. So he was assigned a 4-year sentence. But the question that is being posed is... is that rape?
Okay. Well, look, here's the thing. If she had consensual sex, it's not rape. All right? I'm a big fan of calling it what it is. You can't be raped if you had consensual sex. Now, maybe there should be a charge. Well, and this would be great for both sexes, right? Like girls who say they're on birth control and they aren't. I think we have I think it's called keep a inga baby. Right? And guys who poke holes in condoms. But here's the thing. If you may have had sketchy consensual sex, maybe she was intoxicated, whatever the fuck bad people do, I don't know, I'm not a fan of it. Just follow me. Sounds bad. And you poke a hole in a condom and you leave evidence of sexual intercourse with someone who may not have complete... And you know what? There's like slick talking dudes. I call them Mormons. that maybe like she really didn't want to, but you talked your way into it, even without a drink. I don't know. But if you leave evidence of sexual intercourse with someone that had an ounce of not wanting to have sex with you, they can claim rape. You fucking poked a hole in the condom, dude. You see what I'm saying?
But I agree with you. And again, that's not consensual. But if you have consensual sex with a hole poked in the condom, unbeknownst to your partner, is that rape?
How weird is this? Is consensual going to become autism in the sense, follow me for a second, I know it sounds extreme, that it's a spectrum. You can be totally consensual. You can be kind of consensual and then love the result. Maybe girls are kind of consensual the first night, and then you really put it down. Well, they're like, oh, fuck.
I have after that, they're way consensual. Comments,
maybe they're kind of consensual. You know, in a minute, they're Facebook, like, I would love not to be consensual with them now.
I would love to get your perspective on these two comments that I got on Facebook, and we'll kind of give you some clarification. And
don't tell me who commented them, because I don't want to judge that person yet. Tell me after.
Catherine on Facebook.
Catherine.
Yes, this would be constituted as rape because disclosure of STDs and agreement on method of protection is part of consensual sex.
No.
James on Facebook said, this is an intriguing one. In the sexual assault perceived version of rape, no. Should it be a law of its own in the same class as a statutory rape?
Probably. I'm a fan of that. Yeah.
I don't believe it should be penalized as a sexual assault. Definitely correct. Should be illegal, though.
Yeah. Well, again, do it for both sides, guys. Where's the conversation on women who talk about birth control that aren't on it? You know?
But is a contraceptive to birth?
They're both contraceptives.
You're right. I'm walking that back. They're both contraceptives. But then one's also protection for an STD.
Correct.
So that STD factor, would that constitute as rape? What do you think?
Well, look, I got a real quick, brief breakdown for this. AIDS is AIDS.
Judges?
Kids is KIDS. It's one letter off in a very similar sounding letter. You see what I'm saying? It's not that fucking far off. Contraceptive,
right.
And you know, STD defense. Either way, if that bridge burns, bro, you're swimming, man. I don't even know the reference, but I made it up right now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with James as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, look, dude, that's shady as shit. You did break a law. You violated trust. You did something wrong. Did you rape someone? No. But if somebody was unsure about being with you, and then you're dumb enough to fucking leave evidence, just go to jail for being stupid.
I'm okay with people going to jail for being stupid. Usually,
well, I don't know.
Usually that does happen. People that 90
day
do
sentences,
dumb shit.
Right?
90 day timeout. Yeah, uh-huh. We're not going to call it like a sentence. Just call it timeout.
Yeah, detention centers.
That's funny. We got about 10 minutes left, so we want to go into a to be or not to be, or want to go straight into the you know what's.
Oh, you know what? Let's do a fuck. I said, you know what? Let's do a to be or not to be real quick, and I think we can slide in a you know what or two.
All right, let's do it. To be or not to be an unwritten law. Letting people use your phone to make a phone call for an emergency.
During COVID?
Just in general. I mean, do you think COVID changes that?
No, it does. Absolutely. Like, I don't, like, no, this is a breath disease. You're not touching my shit. Yeah, no, it's touchy, man. And it would have to be, like, the scale of the emergency. If you just walk up to me while I'm leaving the grocery store, and you're like, hey, I have an emergency. Can I use your phone? No. But if I see you get in a car accident and you're rattled and obviously your phone was on a charger and it, like, I don't know. That's tough, dude. But during COVID, yeah, you're not touching my fucking phone, whoever you are.
Yeah.
I'll call for you. I will do that. I've done that. Like, someone looks shady, and I'm like, I don't really feel like running. If I hand you my phone and you split, like, how about you just tell me who to call? Actually, not too long ago, a girl ran down to gas at the gas station around the corner from my house. And we pulled up to get gas. And she said, hey, I left my kids in my car.
I lost mind, I lost that joke. Continue. Fuck that.
Can I? Yeah, the old transitioning out of sex bit, right? And by the way, just came in. I take back all the male voting. I didn't know it was M-A-I-L. I thought it was M-A-L-E. Didn't mean it. Don't judge me. So she said... that she locked her keys in the car and she needed to use her phone to call her husband. And I was pumping gas. And I said, here, babe, I to my wife. I didn't call her babe.
Oh, okay. Clarify.
Babe, oh, yeah. I had to clarify. Anyway, she wouldn't listen. We're like 54 minutes in. She'd already changed it by now. I would have said, I did say, I dialed the girl's number for her boyfriend. I gave it to Nat. I said, I'm going to pump gas. You tell her boyfriend, whoever answers, to let him know that she ran her keys, whatever the problem was. She's at the Chevron in Van Buren. She needs help. And that's exactly what we did. Natalie called the guy. And she's, oh, hey, your wife is here. She locked her keys in the car. You know, we're just calling, but it's a real thing. Like, you should come take care of her. And that's how we helped assist this lady through an emergency without her touching our shit during COVID.
That's a good way of doing it. I think it would do the same thing, especially now. I remember, I harken back to, I think one time I let a dude use my phone. And this was like before speakerphone was a thing. That he would be able to use my phone. I was like, okay, sure. I'm just someone who likes to help people.
Yes, yeah.
I'm probably more willing to help than I should be.
Do you remember when Natalie and I got stranded in Baker?
Yes, I think we have an episode recalling that.
Yeah, exactly. By the grace of God, we got back to Vegas anyways. That had altered our perspective of what we would and wouldn't do for people and how much we would help for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Now we're back to life. Ah, I don't know. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to help people. But like you said, you have to give me a little bit more. Like, okay, especially now with your phone being everything. Dude. You know, back when I had my fucking flip phone and before the speakerphone, and I gave the guy my phone, I was like, okay, you know, I have like a shitty camera phone and, you know, my contacts on that phone. So if dude swipes it and runs away, not the end of the world. But now, like, my phone has all my passwords, bank accounts, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I'll be a little more hesitant. But I think ultimately, I think I would help people that say that they need my phone for an emergency. Or at the very least, you know, I'll dial them and we'll talk
exactly.
to them on speakerphone.
If you come to me for help, I'm going to find a way to help you at some level.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm white and I need the karma.
More now than ever.
I'm a cis white male.
Let's get into some you know what's.
All right. You want to go or you want me to go?
Yeah, I'll go while you get your you know what's in order.
All right, go
hey,
for it.
Hey, what? You know what?
What's that, brother?
Few things are as depressing as cold eggs for breakfast. Life lesson. Eat them while they're hot.
Yeah. Exactly, dude. And they don't microwave well either.
Yeah, no. I was giving Milo some fucking eggs the other day, and he didn't eat them right away. So we revisited them. I was like, nobody fucking likes cold eggs, man.
No, we had that issue today in the cabin because some of our kids have a real issue with like just handling what's at plate, what's up to bat, and they just would rather eat chips. And I was like, oh, you can eat your chips when you eat your breakfast. And meanwhile, it's 30 minutes past and it's just eating cold eggs like this.
That's no fun at all, man.
Yep.
Yeah. And, so it made me ponder the great wonders of the universe and made me think like life is like cold eggs.
Yep.
Gotta eat them while they're hot, man.
Sure is. And nobody knows which came first.
Yep.
Before I hit, you know what? I had a quick question.
Oh,
and it has to do with this word pardon. How come when you fuck up, you say pardon me? But also, how come when you fuck up, you go, I beg your pardon? What is this magic pardon that plays on both sides of the aisle?
Pardon me. And then I beg your pardon. Either way, you're asking for a pardon.
No, but is the pardon me?
Yeah. Pardon me. And, then, and I beg your pardon. So you're either way, you're still the ex.
It's up to the other person.
Yeah.
To provide language is a motherfucker, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. You know what?
What?
I can't stand when women shit on men about their height.
Oh, why not? It
fucking drives me crazy, dude.
What's that?
Let me tell you. Look, dude, we're supposed to be over body shaming, right? It's supposed to be a thing of the past. Like, I can't call a bitch fat anymore.
That's true.
All right. So like, look, I can't talk about like, I can't do Chinese eyes.
Yeah. You probably shouldn't do that.
But we can still shit on a dude for being short, right?
I just want these bitches to know, like, look, keep doing that either.
If I had all this handsome, all this wit, all this wisdom, and this humor, plus height, I would be like you with your makeup on, like, all the time. Like, the way you look when you're all fucking made up, like, that would be me 24/7.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Solid. Yep. Hey, you know what?
What's that, man?
Shitting on people for anything but being a shitty person makes you the shitty person.
Right. That's asshole. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about this. I forget where it came
from. Talk about it, bro. Talk about it.
I had to take a shit. I don't know, but I just thought about, like, you know, the term of being shitty. And I was like, okay. So I just thought about it. I was like, you know, you never want to shit on people. I know some trolls, some internet trolls, they just shit on people for the sake of just shitting on people. But if you're doing that for anything other than you're shitting on someone for being a shitty person, then you
are,
you are the shitty person.
Exactly, dude.
Yeah.
So you know what, bro?
It came to me. What?
When Alanis talked about blowing that dude in the theater back in 1996 or whatever. Do you remember that song?
I don't, but I remember Alanis.
Yeah. Alanis Morissette wrote a song where she talked about a guy who left her for a new chick. And she goes, is she as perverted as me? Will she go down on you in a theater? However the fuck she sings it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You ought to know. Good song. Yeah.
Thank you. That's the song.
Yep.
That was your marker, bitches, to step your game up.
that was for calling you out.
For a Canadian to become a celebrity who also, that's 1% of women. That means the 50% of you that don't do that, it's time to level up, bitches.
Time to step up your game.
Stop shitting on short dudes and start sucking dick in theater, bro.
That's true. Speaking of more shitty things, you know what?
What's that, my man?
Shitty people do shitty things, but being in a shitty situation doesn't make you a shitty person.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I think I really did have to take a shit that day because I had a couple of
everything's shit related.
Just shit related. But I was thinking about it. You know, you're in a shitty situation. It's no fault of your own. Life is just a little bit fucking difficult. And just because you're in a shitty situation doesn't make you a shitty person.
No, absolutely not.
You know, shitty people do shitty things. It has nothing to do with the situation. If you're, you know, in a good situation, but you're still like being shitty, you're a shitty person.
I got one more. You know what?
What?
You know what, dude? It's a sign of the times, indicator of our culture and exactly who we are in America when State Farm's Jake. He's one of my black men now, right? Have you seen that? Remember Jake from State Farm?
Right.
I'm wearing khakis. All right. That exists. That availability and that room for change. And no one bats an eye. We accept that. That's cool. But
it's accepted.
We will not fuck with flow. White women are still the devil that turn the cogs, that run the racism in this country. They will not fuck with flow, my man.
That's true.
Did you see Bill Burr's monologue for Saturday Night Live?
I did.
Okay, that part where he said, you slept in bed with us. You did all the things we did. This whole generation of racism and hate and issues. And then when you did sleep with someone who was a minority, if you got caught, you said it wasn't consensual. Why do we worship white women in this country? Why are they untouchable?
I don't know. That's a great question. I can't sympathize with that at all. So I have no idea where even to start.
It's a real thing though, right?
I think the white sentiment is something that is high on a pedestal in America for whatever fucking reason.
But with women, like, right? Like white men are, I feel like we're getting our talking to. We're getting our talking to. Like we're going through the lessons right now. But why are white women still invincible? Why is it they can change Jake from State Farm, but they know they better fucking not touch Flo?
I don't know. Maybe it's a power dynamic. Maybe because the white men are in power, their time has come for a reckoning. But then again, white women, I don't know. That's a good question.
We need to burn all white women, dude.
So you're saying we want to turn Flo to no mo?
No, what I'm saying is they won't do it.
But they should, is what you're saying.
Just I mean, the next Spider-Man is black, right?
Yeah, Miles Morales. He's awesome.
All right, but the girl, what's her name? The redhead?
Gwen Stacy? Oh, Mary Jane.
Mary Jane, thank you. Gwen Stacy is way hotter. By the way, team Gwen Stacy, absolutely. But Mary Jane will not be fucked with, I guarantee it.
Well, she already is. She's Zendaya.
Oh.
Yeah, Zendaya. She's black.
I take that back. And well, when Zendaya starts selling car insurance, I'm all about it.
Okay. As always, I want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us that 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in that Venmo at Social Nuisance and become a short sponsor. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. Thank you guys for voting. My name's Imagine. That's the Main Man Motion. And we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Hey, dude, do you remember when you told me Justin Timberlake was a good guy? Justin Bieber was a good guy. Fuck, I fucked it up. Yeah, it was definitely. I'm going to save that for next episode.
It was always Justin Timberlake.
Gosh damn it. Show my card.
JT over JB any day.
Absolutely anybody would.
Yeah. Yeah, so whatever you was, your statement was so false you couldn't even get it out.
I fucked it up so bad. Let's get the fuck out of here.